Well, for the past several weeks, we have been talking about love, what matters most. This is a series of four messages I wanted to have before we come to Valentine's. In other words, it's talking about love in a way so that we might be more loving and be more like God. Now, the first week, we talked about true love. What true love looked like, how it was patient and kind and giving and not selfish and caring. Last week, we talked about understanding each other. Now, if you missed those two messages, they're on the website, and you can go there and you could still hear those messages if you would so be inclined to choose to do so. But today, we want to continue this series on love and talk about communication. We're going to talk about how do you love with your words. James 3:2 that we just read this morning, it says, all of us often make mistakes. But if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect. So, I'll confess right up front, I'm not perfect. And I will confess that I often make mistakes when it comes to my words. I sometimes say some very stupid things. Now, is there anybody else like me? Or are you perfect? Maybe you say some hurtful, stupid, and bad things sometimes too. What you say can have serious consequences. You know, in businesses, if you have poor communication, it can lead to financial ruin in business if you have poor communication. Or poor communication in international affairs, we see it on the news all the time now, it can lead to war. And poor communication in relationships can lead to deep hurt and even breakup and divorce among couples. Too often, after a couple has been together for some time, they confess. You hear it way too often. They say, we don't communicate anymore. Why is that? A study on communication reveals that only 77% of communication is what you say verbally. So if you're talking to someone, you think your words are so important, it's only 7% of the message that you're getting across. The rest of the message that comes across, 55% of it is your body language and facial expression. That's what's being communicated to the person. And 38% of the tone of your voice is what is coming across. So it's not so much what you say with your words, but how you say it with your body language and your tone and your disposition. Listening is an art. It means you have to suspend your thoughts to what is being said in order to hear what someone else is saying. In other words, you've got to get into their shoes. It means when you listen, you have to feel what they're feeling. You have to try to understand what they are presenting. In the book of James, he explains how important those words are. He says, my mouth, my words, they direct where I go. In other words, what I say, my words end up giving the path that my life is taking. The picture James gives is a picture of a rudder of a ship. You see a small rudder guides a great big ship. In other words, James is saying his words is what directs where his life is going. Our mouth, our words, our conversation is like a rudder in our lives, and what you say and how you say it guides the way that you look at life and the way that you treat other people. Let me give you three important points about communication. Number one, before you can communicate with words, a person needs to know that you value their ideas and that you value their feelings. Often we feel that we know more what another person needs than they themselves. So when someone begins to tell us about their problems, we want to make them feel better. And we begin to tell them what they should do to feel better. We listen just enough to assess the situation that we think they're trying to tell us, that they're trying to communicate. And as soon as we make that assessment, then we proceed to tell them how to fix their problem. But if you haven't heard the words, "help me," then just listen. When people begin to tell you their problems and their struggles and their situation, they're not necessarily asking you to fix it. They're asking you to hear their pain and their struggle. And unless they have said specifically, "help me," just listen and give compassion and understanding. It takes a lot of energy just to be there for a person and truly listen. Did you hear me? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort on your part just to listen. How often do we have a person tell us something and we say, "well, you should have done this," "well, you should have done that," or "this is how you can take care of that"? How often do we do that? For example, a woman who has a critical boss and she's fed up with it, fed up the way she's treated, the way she's talked about, and so she quits her job. And she comes home, she tells her husband that she quits, and her husband says, "well, you should have looked for another job first." Now, he didn't see that her reaction was not clear logical thinking, but it was emotional. She was given an honest response to a bad situation that she was in. But what he said hurt probably even more than what her boss had said to her. She wished that her husband had just held her, not said anything, just saw the pain she was in and just held her. Wished that he had said, "I love you." Her feelings were not validated. She had feelings of hurt and pain, and all he did was to criticize her. You know, if you don't grow up with your feelings being validated, you will grow up feeling crazy. Child gets up to the table and says, "I'm not hungry." "Oh, well, you're going to eat. Are you going to sit there until you do get hungry?" What are they saying to the child? They're saying, "stuff your feelings and listen to what I want you to do." The child gets hurt and starts crying. And the adult says, "now look, little boys don't cry. Stuff your feelings." How many grow up believing that your feelings are wrong? Listen. Feelings are not right or wrong. Feelings are just that, feelings. And they're your feelings and how you experience a situation. And they need to be validated. Because when you're in pain or when you're hurt or when something's going on in your life, for somebody to tell you, well, don't feel that and don't look at that way, then you are doing great harm to them. Feelings are just feelings. And we need to be able to listen to people's feelings and validate that that's how they're feeling and just listen. James talks about how important those words are. He says, my mouth can destroy what I have. Because they're so powerful, words can destroy what you say to other people. The picture that James gives us is the picture of a fire. He says a fire is a good thing. It can cook and it can heat and it can do all the good kind of thing. But all of us know it can easily get out of control. Fire can burn, fire can destroy, fire can harm. We've all seen words that someone has issued to another person and it burns up a job. We've seen words burn through a relationship. We've seen words burn a hole in the heart of another. That's the power of words. And that's why you need to be careful with them. Here's a second important point about communication. Before you can communicate with words, a person needs to know that you want to talk with them and that you want to listen, that you want to hear what they have to say. We often want to make a person feel better when they share their stories with us. The problem is, we want to make the pain go away. Like we do with our children. Now, if we put a child in time out, and we can make that child feel better if they're sad. We can just remove the situation and tell them they can get up, and they would feel better. We have that power. If they want a toy or a snack and they get upset, then we can give it to them and we can alleviate their distress and make them happy. But as adults, we can't make the pain go away of a lot of adults that they're experiencing. We can just be there and want to be there for them. Most often in a crisis, you can't say something to make another person feel better. But you can help. Just be there and say, I'm sorry. I'm here for you. Or you can say that this experience must be painful. And I care about that for you. A person needs to know we will be there, that they can cry in front of us, that we'll be there for them in their pain. I see this, and I've grown up with this as a pastor, to understand that in a time of death, we can't take away the pain, but we can be there, and we can talk about it. If someone is dying, they need to express their feelings. And when someone talks about dying, we often say, now, don't say that. You'll be just fine. Or we'll say, I don't want to hear that. They can't express how they're feeling. They can't express the situation they're in. Because we, too, find that hard. But you need to realize that you don't have to have brilliant words to tell someone in a time of crisis. You don't have to fix it. You just need to be there. You don't have to have an answer. Or you don't have to solve the problem. In times of stress, arms do more to comfort than any other part of the body. One needs to be held not lectured to. A woman in crisis wants your shoulder, not your mouth. Now, there are times when a woman will want you to solve a problem or fix a situation, but she will let you know that. Hopefully she will say, "Hun, will you please take care of whatever the situation is?" And she'll do that about 5% of the time when she's expressing her crisis. But 95% of the time, she just wants you to show that you care, that you understand what she's saying, that you validate her feelings. She's not looking for answers. She's looking for compassion and sympathy. She needs your shoulder to lean on, not your mouth to provide answers. James says, "My mouth displays who I really am." The picture James gives of this is a picture of a mountain spring. And he says, you go to a mountain spring, and if you know that that spring is good water, you're going to get good water out of it. But if you know that it's a poisonous spring, you're not going to drink from it. But here's the problem with our mouth. Is our mouth a spring of good things coming out? Or is it a spring of poison? James says it can't be both. You can't have both. So here's the problem with our mouth. Good water and poisonous water comes out of the same spring sometimes. How is that? How does it come out of the same mouth? We've all seen this. One minute we're saying the most beautiful things, and then the next minute we're saying the most ugly things. James says you can't do that. There's only one source of that spring. Is it good or is it poisonous? Where does that come from? How did that happen? That's what gets a lot of frustration and disappointment, is the hurtful words that come out of what we think should be a spring of pure giving. Okay, here's point number three about communication. Before we can communicate with words, a person needs to know that you think they are worthy of being listened to. Communication problems are not caused by the differences between men and women, or caused by the lack of understanding of the difference, probably, or the lack of appreciation for the differences, maybe. In the beginning of a couple's relationship, usually there is no problem with a couple talking among each other. A couple usually falls in love with each other because of the time they spend talking with each other. They share their opinions and their interests and their likes and their dislikes and their dreams and their goals and their fears and their disappointments. They share that freely with each other. Neither judges the other at that point of what they're sharing. They're just trying to find out all they can about the other person. And in this wonderful process of finding out who they are, they reveal themselves openly. And they both feel very special because the other person is genuinely listening and they're being accepted and they're being loved and they're being appreciated. So why does this communication stop? Women seem to enjoy conversation for its own sake, a means in itself. Men sometimes call the conversation between women as idle chatter. Now, I would never do that. But by taking and talking about life, we find that women, when they share together in this way, women in the process of sharing that come to understand each other. And they come to form new friendships with each other because they're freely sharing what's going on in their lives. But men, we men often use conversation as a means to an end. While dating, a man has no problem talking with a woman because he has a goal in mind. While dating, a man wants a woman to find him desirable. So he wants to be charming, and he wants to pay a great deal of attention to what she is saying, and he wants to discover what her needs are so he can fulfill them and respond to them. Thus, he has a woman who finds him irresistible in that process. But once he's got her, he stops talking because, in his mind, there's less need to talk as there was in the beginning because he's got her now. And that was his goal. A woman asked, why when a man comes home, when he's been away talking all day, does he stop talking? Because the important part of a man's day is over, that of making a living. A woman's day begins when conversation begins. Talking is the most important part of the day sometimes for her, that of getting close in the relationship, that what talking is being connected to another person. A woman gets her sense of worth from the relationship and the talking and the sharing. A man gets his sense of worth from what he does, what he produces, from his work. A man is happy when he's productive. A woman is productive when she is happy. How can two people still communicate when they're so different? She asked, do you love me? And some men will say, are you crazy? I'm home, aren't I? What more do you need for me to prove that I love you? If a man thinks his gift to a woman is giving her the chance to watch him eat and sleep and sit in front of the TV, he's in for a big surprise. A typical couple spends 20 minutes a week talking together. Now, that's about 3 minutes a day. Hi, how are you? How your day's gone? Whatever. Could your job survive if you gave only 3 minutes a day in communicating? Could you learn a new skill if you only gave 3 minutes a day to learn about that? Can a relationship between a couple, can it be sustained with only 3 minutes a day? You can know the health of a couple's life together, often in direct proportion to their sincere conversation with each other. Now, this comment is for couples only. Every day, a couple needs to have at least 30 minutes of conversation intimately with each other. What happened today? What were your joys? What were your experiences? What were your concerns? What did you find challenging? And what were your struggles? What were you worried about? And if you take time out to talk to a woman every day, you will win her heart forever. A man must be interested in what a woman does and who she is. If not, the message that you give to that person is that you're not important. If you are not interested in hearing everyday things, you will stop hearing about everything else she considers important because she won't be telling you. Nobody cares about how much you know until they know how much you care. If you choose to ignore her conversation, you will have a woman who becomes lonely and disconnected and angry and resentful. A woman will have an argument with you because an argument is better than having no conversation at all. Couples need to shut the world out and reconnect every day. You know, we're overwhelmed by the internet and cell phones and text messages and the TV and Facebook and all of those kind of things where we communicate with. Oh, by the way, do you know why Facebook is so popular? It's a way that a person can express who they are to the world. It's a way to tell people what's important to them. It's a way to tell people what's going on in their life. It's a way to tell people what's happening. And it's a way to define their accomplishments and what they're doing. In other words, Facebook is so popular because it's a very platform that people are looking for in communicating with each other, is to sharing who they are and what's going on in their life. Here's one last thing I want to share before I close today, and it's about touch. Touch expresses a connection in communication. Did you know that people they get hungry from food and intake, and they get hungry for communication and conversation, but do you know people have skin hunger? Did you know a person can die without touch? In a hospital test, patients heal 3 times faster by the care of the nurses and staff by being touched than those who had no touch. 3 times faster. When hugged for 15 seconds, did you know that it releases a hormone called endorphin, which is a natural high that we get when hearing really good news? It's like hearing, you've won $1 million. Wouldn't that make you happy? At least it does something to you. And that's what touch does. Touch causes this natural high. It has been shown that even infants thrived when they were touched and cared for as infants. Now, without understanding the words, it was just the touch that had this greater experience. They 3 times gained more weight than those that were not touched. And even some died in one experiment that they did in Mexico. All right. I'd like to say more, but I'm out of time. Before you can communicate with words, a person you speak to needs to know that you respect them as a person, that you value their ideas and feelings, that they have a right to express their ideas, and that you want to hear about them and know about them and know who they are, and that they're worthy of being listened to, and that you are interested in them and want to hear it. So for communication to happen, one must first feel accepted and loved and appreciated. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, would you teach us how to love like you love? Lord, do something with our words. Instead of me trying to control my tongue, I need to trust in you. I'm trusting, God, that you would guide me with my words as I learn from your word. I'm asking for your help, Father. We're asking for your help. We're asking for your strength and your wisdom. Oh God, would you give us the words of love that we need to share with one another? Guide us into building words of love. I'm asking for your help because I know you love me, God, and I know you love your people, and I know that you can help us to be more like you, to be more loving, to be more loving with our words. So I want to surrender myself to that today, and I ask for it in your name, Jesus. Amen.